God is restoring the testimony of the cross to his church. God is restoring the testimony of the cross to his church. Go with me to two passages of scriptures. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when you have 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to go to Exodus chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now look with me at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 6. We're going to read one verse of scripture, and that is verse 9. Verse 9 reads, And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit. And for cruel bondage. They hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and of cruel bondage. Let me just share with you how I received this message from the Lord. It was during a Tuesday night Bible study. The Lord had given me just a short word on revival and the necessity of the message of the cross being restored back to the church. Revival and the necessity of the message of the cross being restored back to the church. And after I shared that word, we had a time of prayer and the Holy Spirit really came and much unction and much power. And there was such a faith that rose in our hearts and unction to pray. And as we were praying, the Lord put upon my heart Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9. And he really began to speak something to my heart. So I want you to look with me at Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, and let's just read it again. Verse 9 says, And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. So here in this story, Moses comes to the people of Israel. They're in Egyptian slavery. And he tells them, God is about to deliver you from your bondage. He's about to deliver you from your slavery and bring you into the promises that he has for your life. But the Bible says, as Moses began to speak this deliverance message, the people in their heart, they couldn't hear it. They couldn't receive it. And the reason why they couldn't hear it and receive it is because they had been told that before. But instead, their bondage had become worse. Instead, their bondage had become more and more bitter. And God really spoke to me out of this verse, and he said, Tim, this is the state that so many people in my house are in. This is a tragic state that so many of my people in my house are in. There are so many people, they've heard deliverance sermon after deliverance sermon, messages on deliverance, but yet they were never delivered. They've made altar call after hearing deliverance sermons on deliverance, but yet when they got up from the altar call, they were still in bondage. So many are in despair now because they've heard the sermons and they've made the altar calls. But when they got up out of the altar and left the altar, they still left in their bondages and nothing has changed in their life. And it's to the point now that they can't hear deliverance messages anymore. Messages where people get up and they speak about the deliverance of God and God setting his people free. They're in such a place of despair, they can't hear it anymore. There's not a faith that's in their heart anymore. And I began to ask the Lord this question. I said, Lord, why? Why have so many heard messages on deliverance, but they've never been delivered? And why have so many made altar calls after hearing the word on deliverance, and yet they're still bound? Why are so many in despair because of the bondages in their life, so much to the point when they hear a message on deliverance, they just can't receive it in their heart? And this is what the Lord really spoke back to my heart. He said, It is because so many messages on deliverance from bondage really have nothing to do with the cross. The cross may be mentioned, but it's so de-emphasized. Other things are given preeminence. When the cross is not the very heart of the message, when the power of the cross is not the central truth that is being lifted up, when someone's faith isn't focused on the finished work of Christ on the cross, but their faith is focused on something else, then you are right back into trying to live an overcoming life in the strength of the flesh. Words, sermons, messages on the delivering power of God, it never takes you back to the cross. So much of it never takes you back to the cross, which is the power of the Lord. And in reality, they're telling you to focus on other things, and other things are given preeminence. But it's not the cross. The cross, the power of the cross, has to be the central message. It has to be the center of it all, because that is the power of God. Then the Lord really began to speak to my heart. He said, Tim, don't lose confidence. The cross still has the power to meet every spiritual need in man's life. Don't stop believing in the triumphant power of the cross. And I knew what the Lord was getting at in my heart. See, over the years in my Christian walk, there's been a discouragement in my heart. And even though I wouldn't admit it, the Lord made me see it. There's been a discouragement in my heart. Because through my Christian walk, I have seen as many people in the church in bondage as people in the world. There's as many people in bondage to their flesh and many people in bondage to their fears in the church as there is in the world. And I've caught myself saying to the Lord at times in my heart, God, if your gospel is so powerful, why is there as many people in the church in bondage as there is in the world? But brothers and sisters, I can say in all honesty and heart, as the Lord has been walking me through the scriptures and showing me the power of the cross and showing me that through the cross, Jesus purchased not just our salvation, He purchased our healing, He purchased our deliverance, He purchased our sanctification. I can tell you my faith is strong in the power of the cross. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe I know the cross has the power to meet every spiritual need in man's life. And I know the power of the cross is the message that has to be restored to the church of Ghent. It has to be. It has to be. The Lord really began to speak to my heart in that prayer meeting. And He told me, Tim, the message on the cross, the message on the power of cross, people that are sitting in pews that are in bondage, this is the message they're waiting to hear. This is the message you're waiting to hear. When an anointed message on the power of the cross begins to ring out from the pulpits again, people that are in bondage, something is going to awaken in their heart. Something's going to begin to rise in their heart. They're going to begin to say, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been looking for. I know the cross has the power to deal with every bondage that's in my life. I know the cross has the power to deal with every captivating fear in my life. I know it has the power. Brothers and sisters, when the message of the cross one more time begins to ring out from the pulpits, I'm telling you, there is a spirit, there is a yoke of unbelief upon so many people's life that's going to be broken. Because something's going to rise in their heart where they can believe again. I can be free from my sin. I can be free from my bondage by the power of the cross. By what Jesus finished on the cross, I can be free. So brothers and sisters, with all this said, let me bring it to our hearts again. The power to save is in the cross. And when I say save, I don't just mean the blood washing our sins away and we are forgiven, as wonderful as that is. I mean the cross has the power to meet every spiritual need in our life. The cross is the power over sin. The cross is the power over depression. The cross is the power over captivating fears. The cross is the power over deep issues like rejection. It is the power over everything. And as we keep our faith and trust in Christ and in the finished work of the cross, the Holy Spirit works in these areas of our life, breaking things in our life that need to be broken and transforming us. Amen. Now let me say this. I know when it comes to issues, deep issues like rejection, I know it's not always an easy work, and I know it's not always a quick work. But yet when we are fully looking to Christ and our faith is in the finished work of the cross, that Jesus on the cross, you broke the things that hold me, that bind me. When our faith is there, I'm telling you, it may not be a quick work and an easy work that happens overnight, but it is a thorough work and it is a miraculous work. When our faith is in Christ and the finished work of the cross, what he did on the cross. Now, I feel from the Lord to really share with you what the Lord spoke to me, the word the Lord gave me when we had that Tuesday night Bible study. So I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at one verse, and that's verse 30. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. Brothers and sisters, he's expressing the heart of revival. That's what revival is. One more time, God telling his people, come near to me. Draw near to me. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Brothers and sisters, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we find a very, very powerful revival taking place with the people of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's some very powerful things that happened here. First of all, the purging fire of God fell upon the altar. And ultimately, that fire that fell upon the altar purged the land of idolatry. The idolaters were put to the sword. After that, we find the people with all their heart, one more time, declaring God to be their Lord. God, he is Lord. God, he is Lord. Making God the Lord of their life. And we also find in this revival, we find the rain one more time begins to pour upon the nation of Israel. And we know the rain represents the Holy Spirit, and we know the rain represents the life that is in the Spirit. So we find some very powerful things happening in this revival. And here's the question that I want to ask. Where did this revival begin? Let me tell you where it began. It began with prayer. It began with those 7,000 people that had not bowed their knee to Baal, but they were in that hidden place and they were praying. They were calling out upon the name of the Lord. They were saying, Lord, you have to do something to break this Jezebel spirit that's over our nation. God, you've got to come. You've got to intervene. You've got to restore your people back to yourself. Every wicked thing in high places that is hindering your people and bringing them, deceiving them, bringing them into idolatry. God, you've got to break that wicked spirit. You've got to bring your people to a place of repentance, and you've got to bring their hearts to you again. It's those 7,000 people that are hidden in that secret place that are praying. And brothers and sisters, we know that any revival begins with the spirit of prayer. People beginning to share God's heart, share God's burden to see revival. That's where it begins. But here's the question that I want to ask. What is the first thing that happened to the nation of Israel when the spirit of revival began to move upon that nation of Israel? What I want us to understand in this story, Elijah represents the spirit of revival. That's what he represents. The intercessors are praying, and now God is beginning to move Elijah in answer to their prayers. So Elijah represents the spirit of revival coming upon this nation. So let's then ask the question, okay? When the spirit of revival began to move upon the nation of Israel, what was the very first thing that happened? Well, we have to ask this question. What is the very first thing Elijah did? The very first thing Elijah did was restore the altar. That altar that was broken down, that altar that was torn down, the first thing he did was repair that altar. Brothers and sisters, we know what that altar stands for. It stands for the cross of Jesus Christ. It stands for the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart, looking at these stories and according to the stirring of the Spirit of God in my heart, I'm telling us when the spirit of revival begins to move upon the church, one of the very first things that's going to happen is the cross is going to have preeminence again. The message of the cross is going to have preeminence again. The testimony of the cross is going to be restored to the church again. Beloved, here is my question. How can we have true revival if people's faith is not fixed in Christ and in the finished work of the cross, how can we have revival? I believe that's the very first thing that's going to happen. The testimony of the cross is going to be restored. The message of the cross is going to be restored to the house of the Lord again. But here's what I want us to understand. When revival comes, there is going to be such a spirit of repentance. There's going to be such a spirit of conviction, conviction of sin, conviction of complacency, conviction of idolatry, idols in our life. There's going to be such a conviction. But with that conviction, there is, and with that repentance and with that cleansing, I'm telling you, in the house of the Lord, there's going to be such an exuberance of joy. There's going to be such an exuberance of faith. There's going to be such an exuberance of freedom and liberty. You want to talk about people having a liberty and a freedom to worship. You haven't seen people worship until you see people at this time worship. There's going to be such a liberty to worship because the power of the cross is going to be working in His church again. Transforming people. Now understand, if the message and testimony of the cross is going to be restored to the church, then something has to happen first. You know, the Lord really opened up a scripture to my heart, and it's really been weighty on my heart, and it's been such a prayer upon my heart. And that prayer has simply been this: Lord, one more time, open our ears to correction again. Lord, open our ears to reproof again. And what I mean by that, let me show you what I mean by that. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We preached on this last week, and what a move. I really believe the Lord set a lot of people free from despair and condemnation. And there's something in here I want to look at. This is something that has to happen in order for this message to be restored again. Look with me at 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So here we see in verse 1, we see Samuel mourning over Saul, and he's mourning over Saul's failure. And we looked at all that last Sunday and really talked about what that meant, so I'm not going to go into detail. And then in verse 2, we see that Samuel is actually living in the fear of Saul. And brothers and sisters, we saw how Saul represents the old nature. He represents the sin nature. And how so many people are living in fear and despair over the sin nature. In other words, so many people are living in a place of condemnation because they're looking at the issues of the heart and looking at all the things that are in their heart. And because they don't understand their position in Christ and these kind of things, they live in such condemnation and self-despair over themselves and such fear. And really, it comes from not knowing our position in Christ. And I'm not talking about living in blatant sin and blatant disobedience. I'm talking about a people that love God and they want to be so right with the Lord, and they live in such despair and fear and in such a place of condemnation. And so we see Samuel is in that place. But going back to our story, what was the Lord's remedy for Samuel? He told Samuel to offer him a sacrifice. Now, just the fact that the Lord said it means it was important to the Lord. It wasn't an idea off the top of his head. Offering a sacrifice was important to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we know what that sacrifice represents. Every Old Testament sacrifice represents the cross. Every lamb that was slain in the Old Testament, when God looked upon that lamb, in the forefront of his mind was Jesus Christ and him crucified. So in other words, what I'm saying is this: in that place of despair, in that place of fear, God pointed Samuel back to the cross. And this is the cry of God's heart to everyone living in condemnation and fear. Look to the cross. Trust in the power of the cross and rest. As your faith is entirely in Christ and the wonderful finished work of the cross, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, transforming you. Rest in the cross's power to work in your life. Yes, I'm going to deal with the things that are in your heart. I'm going to deal with the issues that are in your heart. I'm going to deal with the pride. I'm going to deal with the selfishness. I'm going to deal with the lust. I'm going to deal with all those things. And there will be conviction and repentance. But you are not to live in condemnation, but in rest and joy and peace, because the Holy Spirit is doing a glorious work in your life. That is the cry of God's heart to everyone who lives in condemnation. You need to look in the cross and rest in the power of the cross. When your faith is truly fixed in Jesus and your faith is fixed in the finished work of the cross, the Holy Spirit moves in that faith and He works and does miracles in our life that only God can do. He transforms us. So the Lord's heart is, you know, look, rest in the power of the cross. Beloved, this is the message that the church needs to hear. And so we have to ask this question. What is the tragedy if the message of the cross is not at the very forefront of our ministries? What is the tragedy if the cross is not at the very forefront of our message? What is the tragedy when we truly don't believe the cross is the power of God to meet every spiritual need in man's life? And so we're pointing people to other things. We're pointing people to look to other devices for their help and their deliverance. We're pointing people to place their faith and hope in other things. What is the tragedy? Well, look with me at verse 3. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord had spoken, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peacefully? And he said, Peacefully. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and I love this, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Now, verse 6 is what I'm really focusing on. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. So what happened here, Samuel looked at the strength of man's flesh and he was so impressed by what he saw, he thought, Surely this is what God anoints. That was in his heart. Samuel is so impressed by the strength of this man's flesh. He says, surely if God anoints anything, this is what God anoints. And beloved, this is the tragedy of the church today. We've come up with so many programs and helps to deal with men's bondages, and so much of it is really centered around the strength of the flesh. Beloved, our churches are filled with Eliab ministries. Eliab ministries. We dress them up and make them look spiritual and surround them with scriptures. But when you really see the heart of it, it's really the strength of the flesh. And we expect God to anoint it. Beloved, I want to say it again. I said it last week. People can hear what I'm saying, preaching about the cross, and this is the question that can come to their mind. Pastor Tim, you are saying dogmatically, resolutely, that the cross has the power to deal with every bondage and stronghold in man's life. And you're saying very emphatically that it's simply faith in Christ and what He did on the cross that truly allows the Holy Spirit to do a miraculous work in my life. Pastor Tim, if you believe that, does that mean you don't believe there's a place for counseling in the church? Brothers and sisters, I believe counseling has a place. Pastor Tim, are you saying you don't believe there's a place for Christian rehabilitation programs in the church? Brothers and sisters, I believe there is a place for Christian rehabilitation programs in the church. But this is what I'm saying. In our counseling, in our Christian programs, if we are not pointing people back to the cross, if we are not truly causing people's faith to focus on the triumph of the cross, if the cross and the power of the cross is not at the very core and center of it all, we have removed God's miraculous power from our counseling. We have removed God's miraculous power from our programs because the power is in the cross. It has to be the center of it all. And as counselors and ministers, that is where our faith has to be, in the power of the cross. Now here is the prayer that was really on my heart. Samuel is about to anoint the strength of the flesh. But what happens? Look at me at verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So in verse 7, you see God correcting Samuel. You see the Lord showing Samuel where he's wrong. And beloved, this is what is so wonderful. Samuel was able to hear the voice of the Lord. What is so wonderful about this story is Samuel was able to hear the Lord's correction. And this has been my prayer. Oh God, there are so many well-meaning people in ministry thinking you anoint what is really the strength of the flesh. Oh God, open our ears to hear your voice. Open our ears to hear your correction. Open our ears to hear your reproof. Open our ears to hear that so much of what we are trusting is the strength of the flesh. And one more time, help us to get our eyes back on the cross. Help us one more time to truly believe that the cross is the power of God. One more time, Lord. The beauty of this whole story is Samuel was able to hear the voice of the Lord and the correction of the Lord. And that has been really, really the prayer that is on my heart. God, well-meaning people and well-meaning ministries, they really don't understand the power of the cross. That's where it comes from. They really don't understand the power of the cross. Our whole concept of the cross is when I get saved, the blood washes my sins away and I'm clean and forgiven and clothed in a righteousness. And that's as far as our understanding goes. We don't understand that the power of the cross is it's the power to deal with everything that's in our lives. And because we don't understand that, after our cleansing and our forgiveness, we begin to trust in things that the world trusts in to bring deliverance from the bondage of sin, the bondage of captivating fear. It really comes from not understanding the power of the cross. And well-meaning people and ministries have done that. And my prayer has been, oh God, one more time, will you just waken our ears to hear your loving correction, loving reproof. And one more time, bring us back to the cross. Bring us back to a faith in trusting that the power of the cross, it has power to meet every spiritual need in our life. Not just my sin. It has power over depression. It has power over captivating fears. Everything that we need, it has the power to deal with in our life. Before the message of the cross can be restored to the church again, that has to happen. We've got to have hearts to hear it. Samuel, I do not anoint this. So in the story, who did Samuel anoint? He anointed David. Brothers and sisters, in this story, David is the foolish thing. Jesse didn't even have a second thought that David could possibly be God's anointed. David is the foolish thing in this story that God anointed. Now, what does that have to do with the cross? 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In the eyes of fallen humanity, the cross is foolishness when it comes to believing it has power to save us and has power to destroy the bondages of sin in our life. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is the message. The understanding of the cross. The understanding of the power of the cross. It is the message that needs to be restored to the church again. And I'm telling you, when real revival comes, and true revival comes, the testimony of the cross will be restored to the church again. Because how can you have revival if it's not? How can you have liberty and freedom if it's not? Now, really thinking about this, I begin to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, this whole message is about restoring the message of the cross to your church, your people again. One more time, having humble hearts to hear your correction, that I don't anoint this. I don't anoint the strength of the flesh. The cross has the power to deal with the bondages in men's life. I said, that's been my whole message, Lord. So, you know, what kind of altar call would you want me to give with this message? But the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, that's not how I want to end the message. One more time, I want to tell my people that I want to work in your heart. I want to work in your life. Ephesians 5:20, I want to make that a reality in your life. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Tim, I want you to tell my people that I want to transform their lives. And I said, okay, Lord, I will tell them that. And then the Lord, we briefly looked at it last Sunday. The Lord brought me back to Joshua 6 again. So I want to go back to Joshua 6 again. Now, this is for us. This is for us personally, what God wants to do in our life. Look with me at Joshua chapter 6, verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Emphasizing before the ark of the Lord. Look with me at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Let's just stop there. Brothers and sisters, this Joshua 6 clearly reveals the power of the cross to topple down every stronghold in man's life. That's what it reveals. This whole story is about the power of the cross. How do I know that? Well, just look at it. The Bible says that they took the Ark of the Covenant and they marched it around this great invincible stronghold, the walls of Jericho. Brothers and sisters, that Ark of the Covenant, it represents the testimony of the cross. Because when the blood was shed, it was poured over the lid. It was poured over the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says here that when they shouted, the walls fell down with a great shout. Brothers and sisters, what is the shout that continues to echo through eternity today? What is the one shout that will continue to echo through eternity today? It's the last dying breath of Jesus when he lifted his head and he cried, "It is finished." That is the shout that will always echo throughout eternity. And last week, I really loved this. After the sermon, me and Christina, Sister Christina, were talking in the back, and she seems to be getting as excited as I am about this testimony of the cross, God's restoring in his church. And she told me, Pastor Tim, here's something you need to see. And she told me how when the people marched around the walls, they were not to open their mouth, they were not to say a word. And that really pointed to Christ's absolute submission to the cross. How do we know that? Isaiah 53:7 says, and he, referring to Jesus, and he opened not his mouth. The reason why he opened not his mouth is because he was in absolute submission to the cross. So when Joshua and his army marched silently around this stronghold that was before him, they were plainly pointing to the submission of Christ on the cross. Amen. It's the whole story is about the testimony of the cross. Its power to destroy, topple down every stronghold in man's life. Now here's what I want us to learn from Joshua 6. The cross has the power to deal with every stronghold in our life. On the cross, Jesus purchased our deliverance. On the cross, Jesus purchased our healing. On the cross, Jesus purchased our sanctification. By the cross, we are healed, we are delivered, we are transformed, brothers and sisters, by the power of the cross. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the power working in our life. But he works in that faith in our heart, that faith in Christ and in the finished work of the cross. That is what he works in. So let me just say this again. You know, a lot of times healing and deliverance in our lives, it doesn't come overnight. It's a quick work. It's not a quick work. It's not an easy work. But yet as our faith is fixed in Christ and in what he did on the cross, Jesus on the cross, you broke the strongholds of fear over my life. You broke the strongholds of bondages over our life. As our faith is in Christ and what He finished on the cross, the Holy Spirit works in our life. And it may not be an overnight work, but it is a thorough work and it is a miraculous work. The power of the cross. Let me just share with you how I got Joshua 6. I told my wife this. She said, Tim, that was a great revelation out of Joshua 6. You got on the cross. Our conversation went something like that. And I said, but you know, just the Lord woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning and really put Joshua 6 on my heart, just wanting to confirm to me, Tim, you need to keep marching around people's strongholds with the testimony of the cross. You need to just keep preaching the cross, keep preaching the cross, keep marching around people's strongholds with the testimony of the cross, believing that that is the power that can deal with these strongholds in people's lives. And I said, yeah, that's true. That's what the Lord's telling me. But then I told my wife, I said, you know, before God gave me Joshua 6, before He woke me up and gave me Joshua 6, the Lord gave me a dream. It was from the Lord. And that is what brought me to Joshua 6. And she said, well, why didn't you share the dream with the people? And I said, well, sometimes when you mention dream, people can think you're being super spiritual, or they can get kind of eerie with you. But brothers and sisters, I want to share with you the dream the Lord gave me. And then He gave me Joshua 6. In this dream, I was standing before a massive brick wall, a tremendous brick wall, impenetrable. And as I was staring at this brick wall, suddenly the brick wall just fell down. And on the other side of the brick wall, after it had fallen, I saw a hillside and I saw a cross on top of the hillside. I saw a cross on the hillside. The wall is removed now. And there's the cross. And the Lord spoke to me in that dream and He said, Tim, the cross has the power to break down every stronghold in man's life. Don't you lose your confidence in the power of the cross. Don't lose your faith in the power of the cross. And then the Lord took me to Joshua 6, where He marched around those strongholds. And the Lord said, Tim, you keep preaching the cross. Keep preaching the cross. Keep surrounding. Keep marching around people's strongholds with the testimony of the cross. And you will begin to see in your own life and in other people's lives things that need to be broken, broken by the testimony of the cross. And as I said last week, I really have a mandate from the Lord. And until He directs me otherwise, I'm going to keep preaching the cross behind this pulpit. Because I believe as we do that, as we march around strongholds in people's lives, just lifting up the cross, lifting up the cross, we're going to see things that need to be broken, broken in our lives by the power of the cross. Amen. And God wants to do something in our hearts this morning. Stand with me this morning.